Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording made in Wellspring Church. We're glad you've connected with us online, and of course you can follow us on social media, even download the Wellspring app. But much better than this is meeting in person. We would love to welcome you to one of our services in a congregation near you. As you listen to this recording, know that we are praying for you to be encouraged, inspired, and given wisdom from heaven to live life to the full as Jesus intended and bring transformation to your world with his amazing love. God bless you. I'm really excited about the prospect of being together as Wellspring Church today. Many of us were busy on a mountain this time, or having recovered from being on a mountain. If you're in the Big Walk, massive thank you for all that you did. I think we had 47 people on one of the mountains at one point in time. That was really an amazing time together. Anyway, I've been doing a lot of reflecting in this season, and I recall in 2004, I received a message from Ron Hibbert, sitting over there, a missions veteran. And he said, "Tim, on behalf of Assemblies of God churches in Great Britain, I want you to go to the south of Sudan." He showed me a map where there were no roads, just rivers. And he said, "I want you to go to the south of Sudan. Don't worry, we'll get a small plane that will take you there." And so we found ourselves, there's some pictures of actually in 2005. You might recognize John Andrews, who is the slightly less cool person on the left of that picture. This is the village of Adur in the south of Sudan. Very dry place, scatterings of mud huts. And when we first landed, I remember the first night, a small child, maybe 2 or 3 year old, was presented to me to pray for them because they were dying of malnutrition and there was no immediate healing. And I'm sad to say, I don't think that child made it more than a couple of days after we left. Such desperate hunger. And something grabbed my heart and those who were involved in that first trip, and we decided we were going to develop a project to invest in this village that Ron had sent me to. Thanks, Ron. Very uncomfortable place to go, 24 hours to the nearest tarmac road in any direction. And so we flew there again. In 2006, we went there with this group of people. We're actually with a group of 7 people from different AOG churches around the country, the north of England, Essex, London area. And we went with this gentleman on the left, is called Edward Allen. He's the one in the bottom left in the hat. The other cool person in the hat is me, as you can tell. And this is what you look like after an hour on the back of a Toyota Land Cruiser holding on for dear life in the south of Sudan. And you'll see there, we took some soil testing equipment. The reason is, up until this time, we had been able to provide some money for some plows. They had oxen, but no plows. So we gave them some plows. We gave them some seed. We actually raised money for a mill to be delivered by aircraft. So they had a mill for the harvest so they could keep it longer during the dry season. And we just thought, well, the next thing to do, because every time we went back, we weren't seeing a lot of progress. And so we went back and we decided what we really need to do is test the soil. And the soil was good. In fact, Edward Allen had graduated from Imperial College in London and was a horticultural soil kind of expert. So he knew how to test for soil. So he took all his equipment and he wrote a report for us. And by then, by the way, we'd already established 2 wells in the village as well. So they had oxen, they had plows, they had seed, they had a mill. We tested the soil, and Edward told us that the soil was good. And so we thought, well, that's brilliant. They've got everything they need. In fact, we saw because of the trade routes that the village of Adur could be a market town. In fact, it could be an ideal place to have a market where people could have an abundant harvest. In fact, Edward told us that the soil was so good and rich in nutrients that you could get 2 harvests every year. So we went back and we went back. And in 2008, I took these pictures. In 2008, the well, that was it being dug, but the well was fully functioning and they were drinking water from it. But the fields were no more cultivated, were no more fruitful than they had been in 2005. I'm telling you, Sudan broke a part of my heart. Thanks, Ron. Because I recognized it's not enough just to have good conditions and soil and water and seed. The seed has to be planted. And when the seed is planted, it has to be cultivated and prepared and nurtured in order for the harvest to come. We went back in 2008, which is the last trip, and we decided, you know what? If those men are still going to sit on their backsides and wait for foreign aid to come, our job was done. And I bless the people of Ador. I'm not planning on returning to that village. I'm not bitter. But I'm just telling you today because I want to talk about soil. I want to talk about this stuff, this lovely, messy stuff. I want to talk about soil because God's been speaking to me about, a lot about this. And I want to share that with you about what it means to be in good soil. Now, some of you might remember in 2015, some of us were in this hall. And from this platform, I was privileged to share the vision that was on coasters. Does anyone still have a coaster that says, I see life on it? Yes! I look at mine every day. And this document was produced, which was a vision document to express what we saw God was going to do and wanted to do in Watford and beyond by 2020. And it's several pages long. In fact, if you've never read this document, I believe you'll find it inspiring. There are some copies at the back, just where you had tea and coffee. You can pick one of those up. But I have to say, and the vision here is to do with businesses. It's to do with education. It's to do with the quality of healthcare. It's not about having good Sunday services. It's about the whole of the communities that we're in being transformed with the love of God. But I have to say, recently, as I've been reading this, I've got very mixed emotions. The first of those is delight. I am absolutely delighted when I read some of this, because some of it has become a reality and is beginning to become a reality. It writes in here about businesses thriving, about unemployment going to record low rates, actually about a town and towns that are thriving. Do you know, Watford is bucking the trend of most other towns of its size in the nation. Hundreds of millions of pounds are being invested in our community. It's amazing what God has done. There is favor on this part of the world. Hundreds of millions. People are moving in. Businesses are thriving. There's innovation. I'm delighted about that. I feel that we are part of that. We've been praying for that. We're part of that. I also write in here, and this is a direct quote, we have an elected mayor who is building on the already strong links established previously between Christians across Watford, the Christian community in general, and the borough council. Advice is sought and insight shared in both directions with the good of the populace in mind. Do you know what? Things have never been better in that respect. I'll give you an example. Last night at St. Mary's Church in the heart of Watford, Christians from across the town met together. Peter Taylor was there in the afternoon and in the evening. In the evening, before he gave his address, he prayed and asked for the Holy Spirit to help the church to be all that God wants us to be for the sake of the town. Isn't that amazing? Not only that, in his address, he said that the United Church was central to solving and addressing the issues of homelessness, addressing the issues of isolation, and addressing the challenges of disunity in our community. And he prayed and encouraged us as the church to not be kind of peripheral, but actually to be at the heart of God's answer to the three dominant issues that are facing the people living in the borough of Watford, and the church is at the heart. Not only that, the night before, Helen and I were privileged to sit at the top table in the Audentia Awards in the Watford Coliseum. 340 people from different companies and charities and volunteer agencies gathered, welcomed by the mayor. And you know, our own John Kelly was shortlisted to be the Charity Worker of the Year in Watford. Well done, John. In fact, Rachel was there. Other people, there are wellspringers involved in what God is doing to see transformation in our town. It was amazing. On that night, Helen and I were privileged to sit with the chief of police, the chief of the fire service. I even got to chat and sit next to a hero of Watford, Luther Blissett. And I was able to say, what's your highlight? And he says, well, probably the highlight of my career is scoring a hat trick for England. How many times? I've never met anyone who's scored a hat trick. Anyway, we were talking about the future of the town, about the goodness of the church. I was able to lead people in prayer. I'm not saying about me. I'm just saying that the relationship between the church and the council and the governing authorities has never been bitter. You know what? You know why that's good? It's because the kingdom of God can come when we build bridges with agencies rather than point fingers at them. Amen. So there's great things. There's loads of other things I could say. I'm delighted with what's happened in terms of the health of Christian charities and agencies. There's stuff in there about that. Also, overseas partnerships about planting churches in Burkina Faso. It says in here that we dream that the first class in Sierra Leone of the Jules Academy Secondary School would be graduating. Guess what? That's already happened. And we've seen a secondary school established in Sierra Leone, and it's healthy enough to now pass it on to other people to fund and run that project. Great things, so much delight. Thank the Lord. But, however, so much disappointment. So much disappointment. Yes, there's delight. But on that day, you see, when we shared the vision, some of us were quickened. In fact, Ben led us in the song, "Now is the time. These are the days we've been crying out for." And in that moment, something sealed. Someone came to me and said, "You know what? I was going to move away from Watford, but even though it's more expensive, I'm going to buy a house in Watford because I have to be part of seeing this vision become a reality." People rearranged their work schedules. There was a sense in which revival had come and it would never cease. But then the timing is so frustrating. I read this, I realize so much of this is only just beginning. That's disappointing. And some of the people that said, "Yeah, I'm in boots and all, I'm here for the long haul," they up and left. Some people up and left and they're not going to any church anywhere. So disappointing. People uprooting from a local church and living an individualistic Christian life somewhere else. It breaks my heart. It hurts when maybe anyone else feel that. When people leave, I hate it. Because what God wants to do is about what he wants to do among us and through us together. So there's disappointment. There's also the awareness of failures. You know, we need to learn probably to fail even better than we do. To fail together. But we've started things, they haven't always worked out. We've made the best plans we can together and they haven't always happened. And guess what? Add to that, add to the failures, the failings. I'm so aware of my failings, the more age goes on, I'm aware of Helen's. I think Helen's aware of some of mine that I'm not aware of. Guess what? You're probably aware of some of ours that we're not, and I'm aware of some of your failings, you're not. Failures and failings. So there's disappointment. But I have to say, there's also determination, because I still see the same vision. I still believe in a church that is able to serve its community, to bring kingdom transformation and spiritual renewal, to work with others for the sake of the kingdom of God. I still believe this. And I believe we've got an even greater hunger for God than we had in 2015, a greater longing for his kingdom to come than we ever had, and a greater determination. So I still see life. But if you ask what I actually see, this is what I want to talk about for a few minutes. I see good soil in this church. I wonder if we could have the camera up here. I want you to see how good this soil is. Because not all soil is good. If you've tried to plant anything in clay soil, you know where everything sticks together. It's strong, but nothing is going to permeate into it. So you don't want clay soil. You don't want stony soil. Because there's not enough nutrients in the soil for it to really grow. I believe God's saying to us that he sees good soil in Wellspring Church. And this soil has manure mixed into it. This soil has room. There's room for air to get in and moisture. I see good soil. Does anyone else see good soil? Because there's implications if we do. I believe the Lord says, "I see good soil here." Now, I want to track back. 2015 was a great moment of sharing vision. And then 2016, 2017, the soil became hard. I haven't put my finger on it entirely, although we've discussed it as a team. Several things. Within Assemblies of God, our denomination, our spiritual authority, there was a massive crisis of leadership. And it really affected. It affected me and Helen. I believe it affected every church in the movement, almost like a cloud. It wasn't good. There was a hardening. It was tough. Things don't grow in hardened soil. they stay dormant. Other things happened. In Watford, thinking about Watford, there was a time when there was a center for missional leadership. There was a prayer room dedicated for people to go and pray over a map of Watford. There was a Christian resource center, a bookstore. There was a sense of which we were on a crest of a wave. And do you know what? 2016, 2017, something happened and they all closed down. I don't fully understand it. But it seemed like where there was potential for growth, the opposite happened and things shrunk. I don't understand it. I also felt in myself, I felt a sense of hardening. And do you know what? We kept on going. Because that's what we do. We just keep on going. And as we went into 2017, so if that was the hardening, in 2017 into 2018, I call it the time of plowing. We began as a senior leadership team to pray more concertedly every month. And some of the things God was saying to us is that he was plowing us. Plowing is painful. Imagine you're a field that's become hard and you get a huge hunk of metal and pull it through deeply. It's painful. Things get turned up that you thought were buried, and God was doing a plowing. In fact, he talked to us a lot about this when we're praying. I'm plowing you. I'm plowing you. In fact, we reminded in the Gospels, Jesus says, you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven if you look backwards while you're pulling the plow. In other words, keep going. Keep going. Keep your eyes on me, but guess what? I'm plowing you deeply. And it was a painful time, but it was important. Because I believe what happened in that process then leads us into what is now this season, I believe, in 2019 into 2020, is having been prepared for the harvest. Now is the turning. There is something happening in this year and in this season now, which is the turning. God is wanting to say over us, I see good soil, Wellspring Church. Now, will you root down? Will you reach up? Will you look around and realize that there is nothing stopping you now from becoming more like Jesus as a people and seeing your dreams fulfilled? Can I hear an amen? In fact, at the end of August, I'd set aside some time to go away on a silent retreat. I love to do that. And I wanted to go to Ashburnham Place. Does anyone remember Ashburnham? My favorite place to pray. But it was booked out. I couldn't go there. I tried every other retreat house I could go to and nothing else was available. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to ask God what he wants me to do. Oh, it's good. I should have asked him first, actually. And I felt him say, I want you to go to the South Coast. I was like, oh, that sounds nice. So I looked for a bed and breakfast in the South Coast. And you know what? They wanted £120 to stay in a bed and breakfast near Littlehampton. It's like, forget that. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? The weather looks dry. So do you know what? I'm going to go and camp. And so here's a picture of my tent. Look at that. The tent that I just set that up. And before I booked, I inquired online. The lady called me back. She says, look, there's a slight problem, Mr. Roberts. You'll be the only one in the campsite. And I was like, yes, I want to be there. I've had a campsite to myself. In fact, it was just the corner of a field, really. And the toilets for the campsite were the downstairs toilet in the farmhouse who owned the field. So we're not talking the lap of luxury. Anyway, I start praying and I'm saying, God, why am I here? There must be a reason I'm in this field. And all around me, you can see there in the picture, but all around me, all the fields around had just been plowed. And manure, it's a lovely smell, and manure had been kind of folded into the fields. I felt the Lord say, look around. And the fields were freshly plowed. They were good soil, ready to receive maybe a sowing of winter wheat. I'm not sure what they were going to grow there. In fact, as I walked around and prayed, there was one field that went right up to the beach. So there was the stony beach where nothing grows. And then a small grass verge, and then really fertile soil. And I believe the Lord's saying, look, Tim, you need to see you in Wellspring Church, not me, you are good soil. And I'm like, Lord, but don't you realize all the things wrong with our church family? We are so flawed. Don't you realize how many failings and failures there are? And the Lord says, guess what? You're good soil. In other words, he said, shut up, Tim, with your perfectionism. Oh, said you're good enough soil. And for us perfectionists in the room, that's hard to hear, that it's good enough. That's what he said. And amazingly, I found myself agreeing with him after a while, after all the things I told him that was wrong with our church family. And if you think you've got a list, I've got a list longer, okay? We can have a chat about that. The Lord's saying this is good enough. And then I, in my devotions and reading, just praying, reading different parts of the Bible, I can't even tell you how I was led to this passage. But in Isaiah 28, the Lord is speaking to Isaiah to give the message to the people of Samaria. And the people of Samaria are being rebuked, and God's trying to get their attention because he's going to do a cleansing work. And also he's promising them fruitfulness, actually, as a result of the testing. And this is what it says in Isaiah 28, if we can have that on the screen. Just a few verses that really leapt out of the page. Listen to me. Listen and pay close attention. So we should do that, shouldn't we? Does a farmer always plow and never sow? Is he forever cultivating the soil and never planting? I felt the Lord saying to him, you can't just keep plowing. You don't just keep on plowing, but there's a time to sow and to grow. He goes on to say this. Does not finally plant his seeds, black cumin, wheat, barley, and emma wheat, each in its proper way and each in its proper place. And if you don't know what the difference is between those things, have a look at these pictures. This is the black cumin, a black seed with a violet kind of flower. A cumin is kind of almost like a heathery type color with a yellowish kind of beige seed. Then we know what wheat looks like, but barley is not wheat, and wheat's not barley, and emma wheat is not barley, and black cumin is not emma wheat, and barley is not cumin. So you see, for some reason, the Lord goes into that detail to say, guess what? There are different seeds that are planted in this soil, and the farmer knows how to plant them, knows where to plant them and how to place them. And then he goes on to say this. He says, the farmer knows just what to do, for God has given him understanding. A heavy sledge is never used to thresh black cumin. And then he says, rather it is beaten with a light. By the way, this is not our pastoral approach, okay, just so you know. Rather it is beaten with a light stick. A threshing wheel is never rolled on cumin. Instead, it is beaten lightly with a flail. That sounds awful. Sounds very painful. Grain for bread is easily crushed, so he doesn't keep on pounding it. He threshes it under the wheels of a cart, but he doesn't pulverize it. In other words, all of those things, note, he says that when the harvest comes, be gentle with the harvest. Hello? When we grow, we need to be gentle with the unique qualities, the diversity of who we are. As we bear fruit, we need to be gentle, not to pulverize it. Maybe sometimes we've been heavy-handed. The Lord's saying, look, pay attention. When the harvest comes, be gentle and discerning with it. Then this is the final verse, 29, my favorite verse in this passage. The Lord of heaven's armies is a wonderful teacher. Thank you, Lord. The Lord of heavenly hosts is a wonderful teacher, and he gives the farmer great wisdom. Thanks be to God that he gives us wisdom, because we would be too heavy-handed. And he says, no, this is how you handle people. This is what you do. He gives the farmer great wisdom. And I want to encourage you that each of us is like, let's take this apart just for a moment. The soil is our relationships. The soil is what we share together. The soil is what we share together. It's our relationship. It's the values that we share. It's actually got plenty of manure in it. You know, when we fall out and disagree, when all that stuff gets folded into the soil, it makes us stronger, actually. It holds us together. There are nutrients in the racial tensions, in the generational tensions, in the disagreements. It's all really good because that gets folded in and it makes us better people and a healthier church. Can I hear an amen to that? None of us is perfect. It's messy. And in the mess of this, the soil is our values. It is where we're planted, is our commitment to God, our relationship with God together. Listen, we need the soil. You need the soil, because in this analogy, you and I are the seed. I don't know whether you're a black cumin with a nice flower or some wheat, whatever it is, you and I are the seed planted with unique qualities, placed carefully by the Lord. I believe placed carefully by the Lord in this church family for a purpose, that you will bear fruit and become. So let's have the next slide. You are the seed. The next slide is the farmers. The farmers are like the leaders, those who plant. Now, we ourselves are seeds, but I believe this is advice and counsel to any of us in leadership in whatever area. We've been placed by God, and he's going to teach us how to plant people, to grow people. God, would you help us? Please, God, would you help us see the unique qualities in every single person in Wellspring Church and beyond, that they might grow into who God's called them to be. And then again, we are the seed. We are planted, whatever shape we are, whatever qualities we have, unique. You're not like the person next to you. Just look to the person next to you. Just have a look. Have a look around. They're not like you. Thank God they're not like you. But they need the soil to grow. They need what we share together to grow. We also understand that the water of the Holy Spirit comes amongst us and is ultimately the thing that brings life to the manure and life to the qualities of the soil. It needs moisture and air and all of those things. But the Lord's saying today, by his grace, we're good soil. Will you receive that today as a word? We're good soil. And I guess the issue is, if you're a seed, no good being left in the seed bag or the packet. We need to be planted. Now, some of you might be saying, well, I know this. This is nothing new for me, Tim. You're just telling me that we're not rubbish. No, I believe there's a prophetic call here. Is that in order for your enterprise, your life, your family to be really fruitful in the way that God wants you, in order for you to become the man, the woman that God wants you to become, will you accept that you need to be rooted down into the soil of the church? I mean, not just attending on Sunday, but I mean really as a fan, you know, as part of the family. Will you accept that's part of God's economy? To be part of the church of Jesus Christ. We accept that for you. And what will happen when we do these things? Just some thoughts very quickly. What will grow in the soil? Well, firstly, you will. You'll grow. Personally, in your relationship with God, you'll grow. In fact, we've got a number of tools we're developing. We're trialing these review journals. This is to help you grow in your relationships and applying the Bible to your relationships. And some have already had a go at this, and I encourage you, if you'd like to get together in a prayer triplet or with somebody that you know and trust and meet together, you can grab one of these journals at the back. And do you know what? You just meet together and you can talk about your relationships with your family, with the poor, with the church family, with your work colleagues, whatever it is. And just meet and talk and share and grow. If your roots go down, friends, you will grow. You will grow into who God wants you to be. Guess what? We will grow. And I don't just mean numerically. I mean in depth and in qualities together. Our communion will grow. Our togetherness will grow. That no one, this is my prayer and desire, that no one will feel like an outsider in Wellspring Church. Can anyone say an amen? Regardless of skin color, how long you've been around, which location you go to, that actually every single member of our church family will grow because we're in this together and we share that. That's my prayer. That's the cry of my heart's church. Also, we're going to see amazing growth in terms of leaders. I believe we're going to do more in this next season to see leaders grow than we've ever done before, to grow up leaders in our location teams, in our small group program, but more than that, to grow up leaders in marketplace and ministries in different parts of our communities. This is our dream and our desire, is that we would invest in the best communicators of the gospel, the best presenters of Vision Ever. So we're relaunching the Clarion Communication Masterclass next month. If you do presentations at work and you'd like to take that to another level, then sign up for the course. If the word of God bubbles up in you and you want to learn how to preach, then come on the Clarion course, and we want to grow a whole generation of excellent communicators of the gospel. Can I hear an amen? We're also going to invest in, and we're starting and relaunching, actually, in January, a new distinctive leadership course, like the transformational leadership course, but we're making this available to leaders across the town. And we're hosting that in Wellspring, and that's called Vivid. And I'd really encourage you, if you're in marketplace leadership and you manage a team or whatever, and you haven't been on one of these courses, I'd encourage you, sign up for that course. And it will help you develop and grow in whatever your job or profession, whatever stage you're at in your career. It will propel you and help you to grow that you can become a distinctive leader. You see, because what this nation needs right now is clear, godly, selfless leadership. And it has to begin in the church. Can I hear an amen to that? We need help and we need to encourage each other. Trust is going to grow. We're going to grow in our trust of each other and our trust of what God can do amongst us together. We're also going to grow. Oh God, would you help us? We're also going to grow our communities. The mayor said yesterday that isolation is what, like an epidemic. That actually people are so cut off in their homes, hard to reach, having relationships over the internet, closed off, trapped in a cycle of despair and depression and suicidal thoughts. And I believe that God wants to grow life in our community. I believe if the church cannot be a part of the answer to that epidemic, then we might as well finish it all. You see, the church is meant to be the place where everyone can grow, that no one is isolated. In fact, we're developing a strategy with healthcare and mental health care professionals in Wellspring that we will develop a Wellspring wellness ministry that actually through group counseling and other professional means, we will fill some of the huge gaps that there are in this crisis of mental illness. I believe Wellspring Church, I believe we together with other agencies and with the NHS and with whoever we can partner with, we can develop new ways of helping people deal with that and to do that as part of the church community. Community to bring about a change. I believe our communities will thank the Lord for many people being protected from the despair they find themselves in and included in a family. There's so much more I'd love to say, but my time is up. I really want to encourage you, church, though. I want to ask you, if you see what I see, and that is there's some good soil for you and I to be planted in. And if we would put our roots, so these are some thoughts. Firstly, I want to say, friends, root down. Root down. And you might say, my roots are down. Good. Go deeper. Go deeper. Oh, I've been coming here for years. I know you have. Go deeper. Send your roots down deeper into this soil. And you'll bear even greater fruit. Secondly, I encourage you to look around at the incredible people that God has gathered for this purpose. Remarkable group of people. Root down, look around. In fact, I have to mention young Benjamin Chin. Last week, Dan Hedger, as we approached the third peak in the big walk, his leg had popped out, his knee, he'd heard it go. So he was forcing himself around the third peak. So he finished the sponsored challenge. And we got to the face of a rock and a waterfall is coming down. I'm not exaggerating when I'm saying the top of the waterfall was higher than the beams in the ceiling. And the way up was almost a sheer climb over wet rocks. And Dan looked at this thing, we all did, and thought, hang on, we have been walking for 22 miles already. And you want us to go up there? And young Benjamin Chin had decided to see Dan to the top. And Dan hobbles his way up, and little Ben, 9, puts his hand under Dan Hedger's rucksack and pushes him up the side of the mountain. When they get to the top, Dan is in floods of tears. Benjamin, you got me to the top. You got me to the top. You see, when we do this together, when we look around and see that we're not on our own, it's amazing what we can do. So we need to root down, we need to look around, and finally we need to reach up, and I mean make a decision, I'm going to grow. I'm going to be part of something, I'm going to be intentional, I'm not going to be a church attender anymore. I'm going to be part of this church family, whatever it costs me. I'm going to give my all to see this vision become a reality. then some of the things still unseen in this, some of the disappointments can be turned into the delights of the next time we talk about this, because we see the vision become more of a reality. So friends, I wonder if the band can come up. We're going to pray. In fact, before that, there's a little video here I want you to see. And this video is a few people from across the Wellspring family saying how being part of Wellspring Church has helped them grow, because I believe we're growing here, and there's evidence of that all over the place. So I'm going to see if the technical people can do that. So have a look at this. Just a few people saying this, and then Helen's going to lead us in prayer.
So I've been coming to the Wellspring for a little over 2 years now. And in that time, God's done some wonderful things in me. When I first started coming, I came at a time in my life where I was pretty lonely, having just lost my mother, and a little bit directionless. But in the last couple of years, my life has taken on a whole new purpose and direction. God's put on my heart that He'd like me to work with children, so I've gone back to college in the last couple of years, learning psychotherapy and counselling, with the intention to become a school counsellor. I had some opportunities to do some talks in schools, join the youth team here at the Wellspring, which has been amazing. Playing football with the guys on a Monday night, just community and a sense of well-being and belonging is something that just has grown me since I've been coming to the Wellspring. But I consider this my home now, and it's just a wonderful place to be. So my name's Dan Hedger, and I'm growing here.
Hi, I've been on the big walk last week, and I was very grateful. It was showing me that I've been supporting by the family church, and especially when Jonathan stayed behind to wait for me, I was slowed down, and Dan was helping me as well when I came up on the top of the peak. With faith and the growing with the family, I'm so grateful to grow. I'm so happy to have this Wellspring Church as my family. And my daughter has been growing in this church, and she will, it's her birthday on Sunday. And I am so happy for each of us been supporting with the relationship I have with the Wellspring. And my name is Sharifa, and I'm growing here in Wellspring Church.
So I've been coming to Wellspring Church for about 2 years now, and I'd like to share two ways in which God has been helping me develop and grow as a person and as a Christian. First is family, choosing to fight sometimes against the uphill battle that it feels like, against the enemy's lies, and know that this is my family, that I'm loved and accepted. And I've been integrated into an amazing team, socially and professionally too, and I'm really grateful for my family. I love them all, and I hope to continue growing that way too. The second way is musically, being integrated into a team full of different levels of skills. Musically speaking, it's been really important learning that God truly does look at the heart, and to bring what I have, but to bring it with excellence, and to always be striving to grow and help others in their journey. My name's Jordan, and I'm growing here.
Hi everyone, we're from North Bushy. And Luke, why don't you tell everyone what you learn about at church, or who you learn about?
God.
You learn about God, do you?
Yes.
And how does God help you?
To make me not scared anymore.
He makes you not scared anymore?
Yeah.
Wow, excellent. We're the Harrisons, and this is Luke, and we're growing here.
Do you want to grow more? I want to grow more. I want to know more of God. I want to root down even further. I want my relationships that are represented in this room to go deeper, to be even more authentic and vulnerable in order to gain more strength from one another. I want to look around because there are amazing people that I don't even know the names of yet, even in this room. And I want to reach up because I know there is more of God to be revealed, to be known, to be understood. So if you're sitting, the question to you is, do you want to grow? In which case, with determination, even with delight and disappointment in the mix, even with how Tim started, acknowledging delight and disappointment, can we muster determination and say, I'm going to do my bit, I'm going to reach down, I'm going to look around, I'm going to reach up, I'm going to position myself to grow? Then if you're sitting, I want to invite you to choose, if you want to stand. If you're already standing, we've not arrived. We've not finished. I want us to reach up because we're going to begin praising. It's a good position to go into. I want us to reach up. I want to reach up to the Lord. I want to say, Holy Spirit, fill us. We want to grow more. We're not satisfied with where we've arrived. We're not satisfied with the growth we have. We want more. Holy Spirit, fill us more. And now let's begin to pray. The Lord sees our hearts. He understands whether it's in your own language, your mother language, your spiritual language, whatever. Just begin to reach out and pray. Holy Spirit, fill us, that we would be a growing people. Thank you, we're not on our own. Thank you that we're surrounded by this great crowd of witnesses. And as the writer to Hebrews says, so we will strengthen our tired knees. We will take a new grip with our hands. And Lord, we will reach out to you with the courage and strength of those around us. Because we will grow, because we know this is good soil. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Help us to do the bit that we have to do, that we would cooperate with you, and we will grow in good soil.
Thanks for listening to this recording. We hope it has encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've heard the voice of God and been aware of his presence with you wherever you are. Do share with us any answers to prayer or get in touch if there is any way we can help you further on your journey with God. Come and see us on Sunday, or you can email us at admin@wellspring-church.org. May God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.